From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Thursday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
And I'm Travis Fain, WRAL State House Reporter.
And it's wrapping up. Well, it hasn't really been that crazy of a week, but it was kind of a light day today as well. They're not planning on holding session tomorrow, not back until Monday. But they did take up a couple of pretty significant bills today in terms of taxation policy. And one that passed the House today on third reading was a bill that would allow counties to use local sales taxes that were once earmarked for transit for other purposes. And so I didn't realize this, but it was more than 20 years ago that the state actually put into law that if counties wanted to raise their sales tax for transit, they could do that. It could be 7%, so 2.5% at the county level, and they could put an extra quarter cent on to use for transit. Well, 96 of the 100 counties have not done that. And so they're saying, well, let's let them use the extra quarter cent either for education or whatever general purpose they want to, as long as the voters are okay with that. And so there's a lot of counties that have now got even a half a cent available to them, you know. But even more to the point, there's a lot of counties that had already taken all the way up to seven, so this gives them a little bit of extra revenue if they can get it. And that's really, you know, places, rural counties, places that have small tax bases under a lot of pressure on property taxes, this can really help them get some revenue for those teacher supplements or, you know. Anyway, only a handful of votes against, including Pricey Harrison, who said today that she kind of doesn't think voters should be, it shouldn't be a choice between transit and schools. It should be both. It doesn't have to be either. And so, but of course, she was in the vast minority, and so it's now headed over to the Senate. You know, I was thinking about this. It seems like we saw something like this like every year for the past few years, it kind of float to the surface, and then every time sort of float back down and fail. And so I asked Representative Sain, who's one of the sponsors, why this year, why it's going through this year, and nobody's even debating it. And he said, I don't know.
Solid analysis. That's kind of after my heart right there.
Well, you know, there is one thing, although I don't think it's the first year for this, but the County Commissioners Association did put this at the top of their legislative priorities. And so there are, I think, a lot of counties who see this as a way to, for example, pay for beach renourishment if you're out of the coast, pay for those teacher supplements if you're up in the mountains having a hard time hiring teachers, especially in STEM. You know, there's a lot of counties that are seeing this as a way to shore up some finances.
Yeah, and to kind of to get around calling it a tax increase because it's previously authorized and we're just kind of repurposing the power that we had.
Technically, yes, exactly. And it is up to the counties. I mean, the voters do have to approve this.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
County commissioners can't just decide to do it. So it does require a referendum. Now, Wake County, Durham County, Orange County, we are already at the cap, and so is Mecklenburg. So that wouldn't apply to us.
Yeah. And in the Senate today, preliminary vote, they have to vote one more time on Monday night. But for the big tax package for businesses, this is, you know, cutting your franchise tax. Also increases the standard deduction a little bit, so a little cut on your personal income taxes. You're going to be paying a little more on internet sales taxes. You're supposed to be taking that, you know, you're supposed to be paying that now at the end of the year. You're supposed to add it all up and pay it with your personal income tax. I'm betting a lot of people don't do that. So this will make various platforms charge it. Amazon, I think, already does. That's the big fish, obviously.
Yeah, and they do. But I can tell you, as somebody who does most of my shopping online, like Amazon charges you for some things, but if you're buying it through what they call the marketplace, which is where they're a facilitator for a third-party vendor in another state that doesn't have a nexus in North Carolina, then they don't charge that to you. And so that covers a multitude of things that sites sell. eBay, for example, Etsy, you know, all those sites would have to start doing it.
And this is intended to capture them. It would bring in about an extra $100 million, which softens the blow
from the franchise tax,
which is about $250 million. It kind of steps up over a few years, and then obviously things change, but it's an average of about $260 million a year in impact on the budget. Democrats pushing back against this today, and I mean, really, the Senate was like a debate hall on trickle down economics and whether or not that really works. Republicans arguing that hey, we're going to, you know, kind of continue
make
to juice the economy, and Democrats saying, you know, we have done so many tax cuts. We've cut taxes, you know, maybe every year for the last 5 or 6 years.
Pretty close, yeah.
And it's just not the time, particularly economists kind of pointing a few years out and saying, look, there's going to be a recession. Republicans, you know, arguing that they've been good stewards of the state budget. Rainy day funds at $1.3 billion, even though we dipped into it for the hurricanes.
Right.
And saying, look, this is going to work. I asked Senator Phil Berger afterwards. You know, Kansas got a lot of attention a few years back because they kept cutting taxes, and it really messed up their state budget.
It went sideways bad. So.
And that hasn't happened in North Carolina. Right. We've cut taxes, and they've managed to keep it in line. I asked him if he had any fear at all that this would just be a bridge too far, that this tax cut would be the one that kind of tips us over. And he said, no, not at all. So they feel good about it. One Democrat voting for it, Paul Lowe from Forsyth County. That's because of the $4 million tax cut that was inserted into the bill yesterday for Reynolds American.
Right.
The way they're organized, various holding companies, things that are probably too complicated for me to understand, much less describe, they say lead to a double tax. They are taxed on the same property twice through the franchise tax.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny. I did the math to see like what the standard deduction, the slight increase would get you. And for the average married filing jointly couple, you're going to save about $39 for the year. Okay, if you put that $39 for someone like me who, say, shops a lot online up against the now mandatory taxes. Yeah, I know it was the honor system, and anyway, I'm sure I didn't report everything. So up against the new taxation situation, I think a lot of us are not going to come out ahead on that one.
That's probably a fair guess, just doing the math in my head. Governor Cooper signed a couple of bills today.
He did. He signed the one that would, we've been talking about one that would sort of create a special exemption from some of the incentives requirements for a particular manufacturer that's really close to, I think, the Panther Stadium.
Yeah, it's a foundry in, I guess they call it Uptown Charlotte.
Uptown Charlotte, so they say. So it is going to be able to move, I think, out of the metro area.
I can't remember what county it's going to, but it's a more rural county. So it's being pitched as a kind of a rural jobs act, and I believe it's quite a few jobs. I want to say it's more than 1,000, but please don't hold me to that because it's been a while since we had this bill before us. But the governor signed it today, so those tax incentives going forward. Also going forward, $90 million in disaster money for roads that'll go over to DOT. The idea is to send them the money, and then they're going to pay it back into the state treasury as the federal government reimburses them. Obviously, a lot of roads washed out last year.
In the meantime, tonight, or I should say Monday night, we are going to be looking for some action on the House floor. It sounds like they're going to have a veto override vote. I have not gotten that confirmed, but it was stressed that there will be a recorded vote Monday night, and right now that's the only thing on the calendar. So there are a couple of bills coming through rules. I don't know that either of them are particularly time sensitive, so I'm not sure what other impetus they would have.
The two bills in House rules on Monday afternoon, one deals with letting precinct officials who are affected by a natural disaster forego some training. The other deals with the census and voter district tabulation. And did kind of some back-end stuff that deals with the census. And
administrative management
Yeah,
stuff.
Some administrative stuff. It's hard to see those being, you know, all fire important to get onto the floor. And like you said, the abortion bill is the only thing on the House calendar Monday night at the moment. So keep your eyes open for that.
I know there were quite a few Republicans out this week, so perhaps they're going to take their best stab at it on Monday night. Both caucuses meeting beforehand, so I'm thinking the signs are all kind of lining up. In the Senate, they're going to take their final vote on that tax, the business tax cut that we talked about, and they're also going to take up that craft beer bill that once was so controversial, and now everybody is sort of still kumbaya on it, and perhaps not in part due to the fact that they had a nice craft beer gathering earlier this week at the Lieutenant Governor's Mansion, but put on by the craft beer folks. So that one comes up on the Senate floor Monday night as well, as far as we're told.
Yeah, and that's the one that lets them self-distribute, I believe,
up to
50,000 barrels.
Instead of 25.
Yeah,
which is
something that craft brewers and brewers in general, smaller brewers in general, have been after for quite some time.
We should mention a great story by our colleague Tyler Dukes at NC Capitol on raises. So remember those stories we did about the raises that the DOT gave out? Well, DPS is making them look like amateurs, I think. It was like $1.7 million?
$1.7 million split among 300 senior directors at DPS. This is inclusive of the 23,000, I believe, that the Secretary of DPS, Eric Hooks, got that Tyler was writing about earlier in the week. And it sounds like the idea was when rank-and-file officers got some raises through the state budget last year, the idea was to match that money for their superiors. At least that was the idea in the State Highway Patrol. But quite a bit of money flowing out the door, mostly to people who made fairly good money already.
Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about that. Also coming up on Monday, something to keep an eye on, PED, Program Evaluation Division Oversight Committee, is going to meet. And they're going to be having a look at a report about what it says are administrative missteps that led to, and some red tape hurdles that led to what they're calling slowdowns in Hurricane Matthew recovery. And they say, you know, about $3.7 million spent wrongly. And so that report, as far as I can tell, hasn't been put out yet. So this may be the first time we get a look at it. That's at 1 o'clock on Monday, and I'm going to try my best to arrange for us to live stream that.
Yeah, that could be important. I mean, it's no secret that the Matthew recovery didn't go great. There was a lot of red tape, like you say, and it just wasn't going as fast. The wasted money, I think, would be new news.
Yeah.
And kind of throw that on the pile of problems the Cooper administration has had to with that recovery.
Well, you know, and there's also the issue of, you know, we've heard a lot of what the legislators say about it versus what the governor says about it. But, you know, what we'll have here, at least according to the title of the report, they're going to be talking about the lack of expertise, because that program for those block grants was moved out of DPS under, or out of Commerce under DPS.
Under Governor McCrory, I believe that moved.
Under McCrory, just before Matthew. So, actually, I think it took effect just after Matthew. So, so it'll be nice to get an outside group's take on this.
Yeah, there have been some problems at the federal level, too. Because, I mean, the way this happens is Congress approves the money, and everybody's like, oh, we have the money, but it has to be printed in something called the Federal Register,
yep.
And that takes months. And then they're all, I mean, obviously, if you're going to get millions of dollars from the federal government, there's going to be a lot of paperwork and a lot of rules, and it sounds like the expertise wasn't there to navigate that bureaucracy.
So we'll find out on Monday. Anyway, thanks for joining us, and have a great weekend.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.